Welcome to the True Crime Cafe. I'm Angie.
I'm Becky, and you won't believe the case I have for you today.
So, Angie, have you ever made a bad decision?
Yes.
You're in your 40s. I just got into my 50s and joined the Half Century Club. Nobody gets that far without making some bad decisions. But Shawana King was a good person who got caught up in a string of bad decisions. She grew up in Brooklyn, New York in the mid-90s, and back then, Brooklyn was not the expensive, trendy part of New York City that it is now. The website High Snobiety describes New York City in the mid to late 1990s as a more innocent time and one of the great excitement for a downtown subculture made up of Lower Manhattan's skateboarders, musicians, artists, actors, designers, store owners, and hustlers. The rent was still relatively cheap, the blistering hot summers felt endless, and the streets that made up the neighborhoods were bustling with life, attitude, and creativity. So I visited New York City a few times in the mid-90s, and that description is spot on. Every time I left, I would be all starry-eyed, like, I want to move to Brooklyn someday. And when I visited with my kids in 2011, I felt the same way. And I was over the moon when I said, where do you want to go first? And they were like, there's the Salvation Army in Brooklyn that has this cool records. And I'm like, yes, we are there. Let's go. And if I was ever going to live in a city up north, Brooklyn would probably be it. Except for that I moved to South Carolina and I'm never moving again. Yeah, because I'm closer to you and the beach is right here. But I digress. So Shawana describes her mom, who she lived with during the week as a kid, as the best person in the world, as a lot of single moms are. She worked hard and she always struggled. And when she went to her dad's house on the weekend, though, it was a free-for-all. She was her dad's firstborn, and she was totally daddy's little girl. And as the firstborn in my family, I can relate. If I wanted to go to a friend's house and my mom said no, I would just wait till my dad was on the verge of a nap and ask him, hey, can I go to my friend's house? And he would say yes every single time. Shawana's dad said he was a teenager when he had her. So they kind of grew up together, which was good for their father-daughter relationship, but bad because her dad was not the most law-abiding person. So he wasn't a role model by any means. He was into drugs and she knew it. In an interview with VH1, she described how she saw the police around the corner one day. So she runs up to her dad and she hugs him. And while she's hugging him, she made a big show of asking him for candy and patting down his pockets and looking for money so she could go buy herself something. When the police got there, she ran inside. She went upstairs to her bedroom. After the police left, her dad was dumbfounded because the police didn't find anything on him. So he goes and finds her and he's like, what happened? And she admitted to taking the drugs from his pocket and hiding them in the house. And in that same VH1 interview, her dad said that she saved him from getting into trouble that day. So how old do you think she was when this happened?
I have no clue.
7.
No way.
Yeah. So did you get an allowance in middle school?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. How much was it? Do you remember?
I don't know. Like freaking 10 bucks a week, maybe.
Yeah. I think I got like 5, you know, maybe like 10 for allowance and lunch money. Or it was probably just like I said earlier, my mom would give me lunch money, but then at the bus stop, I'd ask my dad for lunch money. So I would get double. So yeah. Yeah. And they never talked. They did not communicate at all. So when Shawana was in middle school, her dad was giving her $500 a week. And she was very generous with this allowance. She was giving part of the money to her mom. She was treating her friends to gifts just for no reason. Just, hey, you're my friend. Let me share the wealth. And because she was truly a sweet person, everybody liked her. Like the money didn't change her. She was still a sweetheart. But then her dad's friend went to jail and it was a wake-up call for him. He did not want to do time because he knew that would mean missing out on his family. And he decided to put his family first and quit dealing drugs. But that meant the money dried up. One of Shawana's friends said that her identity was a person who had a lot of wealth. And when she did not have that wealth, it was a blow to her confidence. So when Shawana was a freshman in high school, she met Dennis, who, like her father, had a lot of money. Dennis didn't deal drugs, but he spent a lot of time on the computer. And during that time, the internet is really getting popular. And one day, Shawana just puts him on the spot. She asked, she was like, hey, how are you getting this money? You're not dealing drugs. How are you doing it? Dennis confessed that he was buying other people's credit card accounts. So by now, this is in the early 2000s. Back in the day, I may have dabbled in some computer forgery. But the statute of limitations is totally up, and I've been on the straight and narrow ever since. But one place I never went was the dark web. And I know that you've heard of the dark web. Apparently, my kids have been there because I asked them. I'm like, have you ever been on the dark web? This is like, I was at a writing conference in Canada, and that was the first time I'd ever heard about the dark web. So I come home, and I'm asking my cousin, you've been on the dark web? And they're like, oh, yeah, all the time. I'm like, what? Like, do you know what's there? Yeah. I was like, do you know what's there? And they're like, yeah, you probably shouldn't go there, Mom. So I just took their word for it. And I know what's there. Like, I, when you research as much true crime as we do, you know. But Shawana and Dennis found someone on the dark web, and they gave them a wealth of information, pun intended, because soon Shawana was buying credit card tracks from China. And the credit card track is the black swipe area on the back of your credit card. It's also called a mag stripe. Fun fact, the How Stuff Works website explains that the mag stripe is made up of tiny iron-based magnetic particles and plastic-like film. Each particle is a really tiny bar magnet, about 20 millionths of an inch long. So you would need 20 million of them to make an inch. And there are three tracks on the mag stripe. Your credit card typically uses the first two. And track three is the read-write track, and it's not really standardized among banks. So when Shawana started doing this and it took off, she said she was fearless. And she soon turned Dennis's low-key fraudulent activities into a worldwide hustle. I think she was like in high school when this happened, either in the latter part of high school. I don't think she had graduated yet.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was in like 11th, 12th grade, I was just focused on where I was going to college and, you know, who was going to senior prom and things like that. So she and Dennis bought a machine that adds the tracks to an empty gift card. And the first time she actually used a gift card, she was nervous. But soon the cashier was thanking her for the purchase of two Xboxes, which she took straight to Craigslist and sold for cold hard cash. She was the swipe queen. Soon they were pocketing thousands of dollars. Because no actual cash was changing hands when using the credit card, she felt like she really wasn't taking anything from people. Although she was, because even though she's using fake account numbers, the stores had to write off that stolen property, which affected their bottom line, how much they pay their employees, their, you know, the employee benefits, the cost of their products. Now, Shawana wasn't running these schemes so she could have the best shoes and clothes. When her dad stopped giving her money, she was unable to help her mom. And at this time, her mom was working a minimum wage hospital job. She was also in an abusive relationship that showed young Shawana way too much about grown-up life, even before high school. The article didn't give a specific year, but I'm guessing this was the mid to late 2000s, since she was in high school when she met Dennis. Do you remember where you were working in 2007 and if you made minimum wage?
2007?
Yeah.
Let's see, 2000s. I really, truly don't know.
Yeah.
I think I was working at Home Depot, and no, I was not making minimum wage. I was making more than that.
Yeah. 2007, I had just started working at Kohl's. In 2007, I was working at Kohl's. I was making a little over minimum wage because I was changing out the signs at night, and that paid a little more. But I'm pretty sure that the cashiers, like the day, especially daytime people, were making minimum wage, which was $5.85 per hour, or about $234 a week.
And now minimum wage is what, $15-16 in most areas?
Yeah. Back then it was a little over $12,000 a year before taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's below the qualifying income to meet the poverty line. And this has not really changed, because I think in 2021, someone making minimum wage was just over $15,000 a year. And the poverty line was a little over $2,000 more than that annually. So most people making minimum wage are not even making poverty level income.
Yeah.
It's just a fact of life. This was true for Shawana's mother, who was working a low income job and extra jobs and just trying to make ends meet. And this is why Shawana used her newfound fortune to set her mom up in an apartment. And she was paying the rent and the utilities. She said, I wanted to fix things that made her stressed, depressed, especially when it came to money. And now that Shawana supported her mom, she decided to go big or go home with her credit card scheme.
Nobody questioned this? Like, nobody questioned where this teenager was getting this kind of money?
Because remember, in middle school, she had $500 a week from her dad, an allowance. So people were used to seeing her with money.
Yeah, but enough to pay rent and utilities.
Yep.
I mean.
Yep. So
I would question that.
Yeah, I would. If my kids came to me and said, hey, mom, we want to start paying your like $1,600 a month mortgage, I'd be like, don't ask, don't tell. Okay, thanks, guys. No, probably not. I would probably ask them at some point.
I guess when you're struggling to make ends meet like that, mm-hmm. any extra quote yeah. unquote money you do receive, you don't really necessarily question it too much, I guess.
Yeah, especially if it's coming in cash. You're just grateful to have any help at all. Mm-hmm. I've been there. And we've both been there. Mm-hmm. So Shawana knew that selling off stolen goods on Craigslist wasn't going to cut it. She had to move items in bulk. And as luck would have it, she and Dennis found someone. And soon, Shawana went from small potatoes to making hundreds of thousands in cold hard cash. Now, she was smart. She knew that to keep up with these bigger goals, she'd have to change her tactics. Gift cards have limits, but actual credit cards do not. She what? Let her... Yeah.
That's not true.
Not true.
All my credit cards have limits.
Yeah. They have limits, but it's not like a $250 gift card.
Yeah, limit. I know.
So, yeah, mine have limits. Ask me how I know. So yeah. She let her dark web distributor know that she wanted to up her game, and he came through. And soon, Shawana was taking care of her mom, and she was dressed to the nines while she was doing it. And this was New York City. So if you went into a store ready to spend a lot of money, you had to, as Shawana said, look like money. She didn't try to be a step or two ahead. She wanted to be 10 steps ahead. But one day, Shawana went into an electronics store, and the cashier was acting a little sketchy. When the card went through, the cashier alerted security anyway. Security told Shawana she was using a stolen credit card. So she said she pulled from all the street smarts she had ever learned and challenged the security guard to ask her for her ID because the card was in her name. When the security guard wouldn't give the card back, she pulled a fake congratulations letter from the company from her purse, and she said she just let that letter speak for itself. The security guard apologized and handed the credit card back to Shawana.
I'm sorry, but who carries that around with them? Like, seriously.
If I were doing the scheme, I would.
I mean, I know, but like, yeah, if you're doing a scheme, but if it's a legit credit card, do you carry those letters around with you?
Oh, no. If it's like, legit, I would totally not carry
those letters anymore. They're shredded as soon as yeah. I get them. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
So unfortunately, Shawana's swipe scheme turned into shopping addiction. And the more she spent, the more she wanted to spend. And although she wasn't addicted to drugs, she was addicted to shopping. She had all the material goods she wanted, including a Birkin bag. Now, I did not know what a Birkin bag was until I watched Gilmore Girls. And Rory, the young girl in the show, when she's at Yale, her boyfriend gets her a Birkin bag because his family's worth multi-millions. And her grandmother is like, oh, you got a Birkin bag. Oh, your grandfather's never given me a Birkin bag. And I'm like, what's the big idea? You know? So I looked it up. It's very expensive. It makes Louis Vuitton look like, you know, Dollar General.
Dude, I'm like Michael Kors only when it's on sale, like on clearance.
Yeah.
Like, I've never paid full price for a Michael Kors bag.
Yeah.
And I've never, like, no. Like, and that's just, I have one Dooney and Burke and a couple of Michael Kors, and I yeah. got them all on sale.
I have, my purse was $12 at Amazon. And I have to replace it because one of the straps, the pleather is starting to come off one of the straps. But speaking of straps, the strap for a Birkin bag costs $3,000 alone. And the
crazy.
Yes. The bag goes for about $20,000. And at the time, she was 19 years old.
So we're talking about like Kardashian level spending.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Kardashians could probably look up to her at that point level. Spend, oh, wow. You know, she knew that when you use stolen credit cards, you have to keep switching them out. And this is true because I knew some gamers back in the mid 90s who would use stolen credit cards to pay for the subscription models for certain games. And that was the thing. You had to keep switching it out. So Shawana and Ray were always getting new shipments of credit cards until one day their package did not arrive as scheduled. When Shawana tracked the package, she saw it had been sitting in customs for 3 days. Not a good sign. She contacts her dark, she contacts her dark web partner who just had two words for her, be careful. And when she asked him for more information, he quit responding. And this could not be good. During that whole week, Shawana felt like she was being watched. And she was, because the feds were watching the person on the dark web. In their investigation of the dark web person, the feds discovered Shawana and Dennis's scam. And Dennis called Shawana and said, "Hey, I feel like I'm being followed." She got into her car and went to meet up with him. And she saw that there are a lot of cars following him. So she gets a crazy plan. Let's meet up at a friend's warehouse. And they pulled an old switch route. Dennis hopped into Shawana's car and the friend hopped into Dennis's car. And the feds fell for it. They went on to follow Dennis's car with their friend behind the wheel. But Shawana said she knew that if Dennis was in trouble, she's in trouble too. For a while, Shawana and Dennis hid out at her mom's house. Although it seemed like nobody was coming for him, she felt like this was not the end. And it was not.
Have you ever watched the show To Catch a Smuggler?
Yes.
Oh my God. Like, I didn't understand the extent of the vast array of items that people try to smuggle, but I have seen episodes where it's stuff like that. They hold it and they set up a sting or whatever.
Yeah. I read an article recently about some customs guys who heard some chirping coming from a bag, and they opened it up and baby parrot eggs had hatched. And there are these like parrots that were being smuggled into the United States. And I'm like, I did not know before watching To Catch a Smuggler that people would intentionally smuggle animals into the U.S. that weren't supposed to be here.
Animals, food. I mean, you hear smuggling, you automatically think drugs or money, but you don't think animals or credit card blanks or food or stuff or like that. Plants. Yes.
There's another show. It's called Banged Up Abroad. And I think it's in the UK. Banged up means locked up.
Mm.
And it's about people who agree to smuggle things and get caught and locked up. And some of these stories are just frightening. Like one guy, he's like, "Oh, I went to, you know, this third world country and I agreed to have like all these drugs like taped to my body. And I just, when I thought I was going to get through, I wasn't. They put me in court and they put me in this third world jail." Oh my gosh. Like it's just terrifying. So back to Shawana, one night at her mom's house, somebody's banging on the door. And when her mom opened the door, the authorities rushed in. They arrested Dennis and Shawana. Shawana said the worst part of this was the look of disappointment on her mother's face. Yeah. Although Dennis had prior arrests and had to stay in jail, Shawana's record was clean. So they let her out on bail. And when she got home, she had no money. She had no direction. She was under federal supervision until the trial, and she got an hourly wage job. And remember what I said about minimum wage?
Uh-huh.
She was addicted to the lifestyle of having money. It was truly a way of life for her. In the VH1 program, she said, "I wanted to make fast money and I wasn't taught any other way to make money. I was only 19 or 20 and that's all I knew." So I looked up some census data. You know, I love data.
Mm-hmm.
And of the kids who grew up in Brooklyn in the 80s, only 6% moved into the top 20% of earnings in the United States. So the other 94% are just the status quo. And Shawana did not want to be a statistic. She wanted to rise above. And I don't blame her. I think everybody wants to do that on some level.
Well, yeah.
So this time, Shawana and Dennis started a new hustle.
Oh, Lord.
I know. And this time
they didn't learn. How did he start a new hustle? He was in jail.
He had gotten out at this point. He was out on probation.
Okay.
So they cut out their dark web middleman and hired some people to work for them, thus creating a franchise of scammers. And she kind of acted as the CEO. Now, she's very, very smart when it comes to business.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, she just didn't know how to funnel that into a legal way of working.
Life.
So although Shawana and Dennis weren't supposed to leave the state, they went across state lines to make a deal. And unfortunately, they were pulled over by the police and arrested. Because they were on federal probation, they both went to prison. And Shawana's dad said he was afraid for her safety while she was there. But in the end, he hoped it would be a humbling experience and that it would turn her life around. Shawana's time in prison gave her the vision to see that her relationship with Dennis was more about money than love.
Yes.
So she distanced herself from him.
Okay.
she met someone else in prison, not a romantic someone, but like a new bestie who mentored her. Her name was Aisha Hall. Aisha took Shawana under her wing and helped her make a plan for what she would do with her life after prison. Aisha's background growing up is kind of like Shawana's, you know, living in poverty, wanting to rise up above your status. Uh-huh. Aisha was in federal prison because of some bad business deals. And not long after that, her brother was killed by police and her father, who had been deported to Jamaica, was murdered. So despite these devastating events, Aisha found freedom through creativity. She put on shows for the other prisoners. She wrote books. She was ghostwriting novels from behind bars. And when she met Shawana, she was surprised at how young she was, considering how much she had done in her short career of illegal activity. Shawana said she did not want unemployment to be the reason why she failed, and that the conversation she had in prison motivated her to write down her goals and follow a plan upon her release. So in 2017, Shawana and Aisha started the Real Credit Pro, a credit repair company specializing in credit restoration and education. And at first, they were working with a few of their friends, but as they kept getting good results, they decided to offer their services to the public. In an interview with CEO Weekly, Shawana said, "We started a company that's dedicated to educating the world about the importance of maintaining good credit history. This company is also a place where victims of fraud can go for help." And I looked at the website, and they have some really, really good services on there. They're pricey, but the services, like if you need help, it sounds like they could really help you. So between 2007 and 2018, Black women businesses grew by 164%. And this is where Shawana and Aisha knew they could make the most difference. So by 2020, both women had been released from prison and started an organization to help female former prisoners fix their credit so they could do life things like get an apartment, start a business, get a car, or whatever else they needed to do to just exist without breaking the law. And Shawana says, "Maybe this was my calling. My calling was to help people. Had I not gone to prison, it would all be about me being me. Now it's like I live my life on helping other people to be happy and successful." So today, Shawana is engaged. She has a little daughter who's freaking adorable. It's like her little mini me. And on her Instagram, she has pictures of her and her daughter, and like they have their nails done, and like they're both doing like the Vogue kind of poses. And so in addition to the Real Credit Pro, Shawana has co-authored a fictional account of her story with Aisha Hall, and it's called Swiped. She also owns a business that sells wigs and other hair products. And last autumn in 2022, she was part of a program that gave free cell phones to members of her community that met certain requirements, like having low income or being affected by the pandemic of 2020. In the VH1 interview, Shawana said she now knows how to teach her daughter, who came at the right time. She said she would never do anything to take herself away from her family again. And she wants to make sure her community does not have to repeat her mistakes, and she wants to inspire them. She goes to outreach programs and speaks to the youth in her community. She visits juvenile detention centers to help inspire kids to choose a better path. And she said that telling her story on VH1 was difficult, but she did it to help prevent others from going down the same road she did and making those same mistakes. She said she wants people to know that they can turn their life around as she has, no matter what they're going through. And a New York Weekly article, I think, said it best. They said, "Shawana King's incredible journey to redemption is a testament that a person's history does not define their future. Anyone is capable of change and can succeed regardless of the past." And I agree.
I agree. I'm glad she turned her life around.
That's my non-murderous story about Shawana King, the Swipe Queen.
With a nice little happy ending at the end.
I know.
That never happens on our podcast.
It might be a first. We're almost to the end of the season. I'm like, hey, let's end with a positive.
I'm glad she turned her life around.
Yes.
I feel like maybe, and I'm not blaming mom.
Yeah.
I'm not. Totally have some issues with dad. But I feel like maybe if mom had not had to work so much just to make ends meet, that this story as a whole may have never happened,
or maybe not have happened to this level,
to the extent that it did.
Yeah,
totally not mom's fault.
Yeah, I can understand the shopping addiction.
I can too. Hello, I'm on a first name basis, I think, with some of the Amazon delivery drivers. Yes, I like to shop. I buy stuff like work supplies, I buy stuff for our cats. Like, our cats are completely spoiled. I buy stuff for kids, grandkids, you know, that stuff. But yeah, there was a point in time where Amazon was showing up like every day.
I remember.
My husband was like, seriously? But it was never to that extent. Never to that extent where it involved, like, my shopping addiction never involved crime.
Yeah. You know, it never involved a $20,000 purse.
No.
No, my shopping addiction is more like, you know, Amazon's telling me that these felt tip pens that I use on my planner are on sale. And why not get a second set while they're on sale?
I was going to say, if you look at most of my Amazon orders, it's cat stuff, business supplies, and my grandkids.
Yeah, mine is like office supplies and craft supplies, yarn.
Like, I've already bought 3 Christmas presents for my grandkids.
And Christmas is 6 months away.
Yeah, but it's because they had such good deals. I'm talking about like 60, 70% off. So I have a little addiction.
Yeah, I used to be done Christmas shopping by Labor Day every year. And when we moved, that changed because it was such a crazy year, the year we moved. And it was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, and we had just bought this ginormous house. So
we bought our house during the pandemic too. The first year, the second year.
Yeah. So we actually moved in like 10 days before Christmas. So we jokingly told the boys, hey, the house is your present. But then we went out shopping.
What year did y'all move?
2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we bought our house like 3 months later, 2021. Yeah.
Well, when we moved, we were in a hotel, a pet friendly hotel. So we had 3 big dogs with us. And then we were in an Airbnb for 6 weeks. Then we were back in the same hotel room by some miracle of fate. And then in our house, even if I could have gone out and shopped, like, where would I have had the thing shipped? And where?
My house.
Yeah, I could have. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, so I couldn't really shop until we were in the house.
And y'all didn't move in until like right before Christmas.
Yeah, it was like 10 days before Christmas. So,
yeah, I get it.
So we did go out and hit some local stores and we did some small stuff and stocking stuffers and then we went out to like a really nice dinner.
Yeah. Like, I normally buy Christmas presents like all through the year, especially Amazon Prime days, because I can get such good deals.
Well, and for listeners who don't know, our kids are all adults. So like me saying I didn't get a lot for my kids, it's not like I had like a 2 and a 3-year-old who were like, you know, living with Mrs. Scrooge or something.
Yeah, no, my baby's 21.
Yeah.
So my kids are grown. They know, like, every year they get a blanket, they get a new Christmas ornament and some other stuff. But this year I decided to do things a little differently. So I'm only really shopping for the grandbabies.
Yeah. My kids live here for free. And like whenever they mail up, I'm like, you know what? Your birthday's coming up and guess what you're getting? Free rent again. You're welcome. Like, I still get him a birthday gift, but still.
But like, here's the thing. Like, nowadays, you and I, we are very lucky that we have jobs that we make more than minimum wage.
Yes.
So we are able to do stuff like to help our kids here and there throughout the year, whatever, as opposed to in the 90s. Like, I had my oldest daughter in 1996. Had I not been living in my mom's house rent-free, I wouldn't have been able to support her.
We bought a fixer-upper in 96. We were still living there that's the house we sold because we were going to flip it. But we'd been there like a week and found out that we were pregnant. When my oldest was 6 months old, we found out we were expecting again. And oh my gosh, I was like, can we just stop this from happening? When my doctor asked me any questions, I was like, yeah, can we just like make it so this never happens again? I'm done with 2. And she's like, well, what if they're both boys? I'm like, they will share toys and clothes. And I always wanted 2 kids close together. And that's what I got.
Well, that's what you got.
Yeah, that's very close together. But we still lived in that house. Our mortgage on that little tiny house on the side of a mountain was $375 a month. And there are times I missed that payment. But even then, only paying $375 for a mortgage, there were still times that my parents and my in-laws would help us out. Because my husband's a firefighter in Northern Virginia, and they did not get paid a lot.
Yeah.
We got paid way less than the teachers. which don't get me wrong, teaching is a good job and everything, but my husband was risking, like, willing to run into burning
buildings. Literally risking
his life.
I look unreal. At, like, what companies are hiring people at, even pre-pandemic. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's be honest. We're in June 2023,
yeah.
And people are getting hired in at a higher hourly rate than they were pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Okay. But even pre-pandemic, like what I was making
mm-hmm.
versus like what I was making in the 90s when I was working,
yeah.
Like it's like night and day. And don't get me wrong, I understand cost of living has increased, so wages mm-hmm. have to increase. I get that. But there are still so many people and so many families that are living below the mm-hmm. federal poverty line. And so there are people who go out and they sell drugs. Mm-hmm. They do what they think they need to do in order to survive, in order to take care of their families. So mm-hmm. all of that to say, I can see how Shawana got wrapped up in this based on seeing her mom struggle
mm-hmm.
and the nature of her relationship with her father. Like, it's like she had so many things stacked against her, you yeah. know, her father, her mom being a single mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, seeing her mom struggle,
not just with her struggling to make ends meet, seeing her mom in abusive relationships and yeah. knowing that that's not the life she wanted for herself.
Yeah. So I can kind of see how she would turn to
I understand how it happened
activities yeah. because that's what she knew.
Yep.
Based on her father. But like I said, me personally, I could never, even as bad as things have been in my mm-hmm. life, I have never resorted to breaking the law.
Yeah.
Causing financial harm to businesses,
yeah.
other people, anything like that. And you get these people who say, well, what does it matter? These businesses, that's what they have insurance for, you know?
Or yeah, they no, make, because they if their make, insurance goes up, their prices are going up.
Billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So why can't they can afford to write off this money that they lost? But
yeah.
what people fail to see as far as the big picture is that's passed along to consumers. So that's why we end up paying $20 mm-hmm. bucks for a t-shirt. It's a cycle.
It
I'm glad she was able to turn her life around and get out of that cycle
mm-hmm.
and show her daughter that there is a better way
mm-hmm.
of succeeding at life.
Yep.
So I'm glad the story had a happy ending.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know. I feel like her dad probably played such a huge role in that because that's what she saw. Not yeah, that.
From the age of 7. She knew yeah. at the age of 7.
Yeah. You learn what you live and you live with what you learn.
Yeah. And like we said in a recent episode, we have the explanation, but that's no excuse.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm glad she's able to help others.
Yeah. And so. I'm glad that she did the crime. She did the time. And she was upfront about that. This is what I did. And I served my time.
And she learned from it.
She did.
She was rehabilitated.
Yes.
So,
and I'm glad that she found Aisha Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really okay. helps when you have a support person. I know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. What was it? You and I were messaging back and forth
yeah.
earlier today. I said something about, I'm sorry I'm causing issues because I totally forgot I had an appointment. Yeah. And hey, can we move this? And you're like, see, I got you. And I
was yeah.
like, my response legit yeah. was I'm glad somebody does because yeah.
yeah
it's hell when you don't have somebody to support you. Like, don't get me wrong, my husband supports me yeah. in every way
possible. It's different than having someone like a friend.
Yeah, like don't get me wrong, my husband will call me on my bullshit.
Yeah,
but it's nice to have somebody who isn't blood related, isn't married to me, isn't related mm-hmm. to me in any way, shape or form, that supports me, understands, like, hey, I need to take a break for a month. I can't yeah. do this.
Yep.
But will also call me out on my bullshit. Yeah.
And, you know, likewise, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like Aisha was that person.
Yeah. And sure. It sounds like they're still friends, and that's great.
Yes, that is awesome. Now, yep. You know, they say if you've had a friend for at least 7 years, then that friendship will last a lifetime.
Well, we are doomed to last a lifetime.
Oh, darn.
Oh, well.
Stay caffeinated.
And join us next time for another cup of crime.